let's get it going. And get a move on. Kevin will be here in the next 5 or 10
I'll
minutes.
I'll ask them to hold that. But I wouldn't wait too long because it's already been a year.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Minutes? Anybody?
I'll make a motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, so we're going to start with some of the lower-hanging fruit that we kind of put a pin in for a second and close those out, and then we'll move on to a little more of the meat and potatoes of the actual take-homes and how to handle the ones that we think perhaps shouldn't be and where to go and how to do it legally. So the first one was just uniform markings. I know
they're down there, if anyone
these
wants.
Are some examples down there that have been used. I do think it's important on, and we're not, I think the sheriff's department is going to be more of, we have probably two more meetings we're going to have that are going to be short. This will be the last big one, and then we'll be tying up loose ends and going through the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department is more difficult. I don't think we're going to do much with you guys today. And I do think it's obviously more complicated with the investigative side of things, though I don't necessarily agree that every take-home vehicle should just be, to be honest with you, I have pictures and phone calls and license plates of things that happened this weekend with kids in cars, and people are now talking to me about some of these take-home vehicles, and I do think, I don't think you guys could be left to your own devices just to govern yourself, and I do think there's some vehicles that you probably don't need specifically. Some in the jail and a couple higher-ranking management administrative positions. I do think we have to have the honest conversation. I do think we have to find out what is the oversight going to be. I mean, obviously, legislators and the comptroller don't need to be looking at your GPS all the time, but at the same time, the amount of things I'm getting, I mean, I have pictures myself of take-home vehicles at banks, and these are officers that are not on duty. So it's not being done right. We know all around the county it's not being done right at times. And I do think there needs to be some oversight, but a fair conversation. No no undercover, no, we've already exempted all of that. but I do think it's going to be a separate conversation that needs to happen, which I don't think we're going to get into today. I think the next meeting will be more devoted to the Sheriff's Department. But as we're going, some of these things are going to apply to you guys in a generic way. So if you have anything, raise your hand and let us know. And uniform markings, I still think, look, if the captain of the road patrol, I don't know how often Vinny is following people around, but if he wants to do an investigation, I don't think it's crazy to think that some of the take-home vehicles, Charlie Stracuzzi, the captain of, I don't think he's following a lot of people around. If he's going to have a take-home vehicle, I do think it's fair to mark the car as well, but there will be very few cars that are marked. This is more for the rest of the take-home fleet. So I don't know what everybody thought, but I do think it needs to be a decent size. We did have an incident with a $75,000 truck in DPW recently where that individual was had just decided to pull the stickers off his car, and I've, to be honest with you, had quite a few whistleblowers tell me things about what that truck was up to. I do know that individual handed in his keys suddenly the other day. Did that have anything to do with the take-home vehicle?
I don't know about that. Left because of that.
Was there a conversation about him leaving? He came up with that himself. There was no conversation with the executive branch of government or anyone else.
He just showed up and he said he was gone.
Okay. did anyone ever look into the use of his take-home vehicle for if it was being used properly?
Yeah, they did look into it.
How long ago was that?
That was...
It wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long, maybe a month or two ago.
Why?
Yeah,
it's personal. Okay, executive session. If we're going to go any
further,
Okay, maybe we'll do it later.
Yeah.
but as far as uniform markings go, what did everybody think about what we're doing so far? I don't think it was very uniform around department to department. I think there are different sizes. Obviously, that little tiny one is
It's ridiculous, yeah. It's got to be so when you're driving by,
yeah,
you can see it.
You know,
and there's no reason why you shouldn't proudly display the county seal on county-owned vehicles, unless you're undercover.
And they take them home?
Yes.
So why would the section supervisor have a little tiny sticker and everyone else would have a big sticker?
That was way before me.
Yeah.
That's been on there for a long time.
So
most county vehicles,
yeah, I think that big
one,
I agree with
there.
You, Herb, that
county
big one is perfect.
Map or the
not
other
the map, but
no.
The one that they're
the
right
one
right
in
now.
Yes,
his
left hand.
That one is put on mostly
no,
all
like
the other
this
departments.
One.
You like the one
the
behind
map?
You?
Is
but bigger.
On public works.
It should
yes.
be a little bigger than this.
So the road
but I like the gold.
Leader.
The gold will stand out well.
And all the big trucks get the map.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure this is still on some. Yeah.
Would the small one go on like a fender or would they all go on the door?
The little
on the
one
door.
Is
yeah,
on
door.
The door and it's section supervisor.
Okay.
It's the other one was buildings and grounds.
Okay.
The little one. But most of buildings and grounds has. The blue one, that's right there.
Which side is sticky?
What was the deal with the gold one again?
They're both.
It should be the back, right?
The old
right?
One that we used
they're both sticky.
They're both sticky on that one?
Feel this.
I couldn't remember
the
if you could get
one
it.
The blue one is actually cheap. The blue one is cheaper than the gold one.
I don't know. I like the gold one in a little bigger size than this.
Okay.
And this one for the trucks
definitely.
And
yeah.
You know dump
yeah.
trucks and 10 wheelers
yeah,
and whatever.
That shows up well on the
so
shows
are we good with it. The map one on the larger trucks
mm-hmm. And the equipment
and the
whatever.
Equipment
vehicles,
yeah. Large
yeah.
equipment
yeah.
And then
that's a definite no this size
the larger stuff
and then on
that.
Regular take homes what size are we thinking let's get it into the policy. What is
this
that? 10 inches?
That's
12? That's
this
nine.
One's like 8 inches.
Would you like it a little bigger?
That one is 9 inches.
12?
We should go like
a foot?
10 or 12. 10 or 12.
All right, let's
in the gold.
Everybody happy with 12? All right. The gold is more expensive. How much
is
more?
It?
I don't know. I'm not going to say I know, but at the time. That's
well, it's a sticker. It's going to be a couple of dollars
too.
Overall. Herb, do you want the.
Listen, our employees are worth it.
All right.
Gold shows up better.
Multi the 2 or 3 tone with the gold 12 inches. Are you happy? Yep.
I just had I wanted to just get an answer as to why the there was the move towards that the silver blue one in the first place. And away from the gold. You were saying
price. It was a price.
Okay. I mean, if so.
Oh, so it's a bid.
Yeah. Can you give an estimate of a quote on like what the cost?
No, we'll get okay. What it is. If that's what you want to do, that's what we'll do.
If you're putting it on, let's say you're getting 10 new take homes a year, which would probably be a lot. You're talking about 20 stickers. If we go, that's the last thing we need to talk about. Each front door. Driver,
both
passenger
sides.
Side,
yeah.
Each door, each front door. Is that
driver,
where we want them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's good with that? I'm not going to call a vote on things that we all agree on. If it's something that there even one person doesn't like, I'll call the vote and we'll vote. Otherwise, we're not going to vote on 900
so,
different things.
I'm wondering about contrast, because from far away, which one can you see better? You want
it might depend on the color.
Actually,
might depend on the color of the vehicle also.
Yes.
Yeah, but... The gold is actually not this color. It's more of a gold.
Let's vote on it.
Yeah.
The gold will have our hands first.
Well, it's interesting because this is gold with red, and it might be nicer with black. It might stand out more.
Brown.
Or it might not.
It's red on gold.
And that's not even gold. It's more like a caramel color.
Herb. You throw the colors up first that you want, and the next one is going to be the blue and gray one, just so everybody knows. Well, whatever the vote is, we'll go with.
I like the gold.
Who else likes
the
gold?
For the cars. And the pickup trucks.
All right, it's the gold.
Okay. Okay, got it.
And will we also have language that if the stickers are peeled off, that's damaging... county property. Because we're going out to bid, even the seals are county property.
Well, I mean, if somebody I mean, somebody did recently take the stickers off, but I don't know. You can come up with a lot of policies about if somebody doesn't follow this tiny part of a policy. I mean, that could, you could go for every single thing in here. What's the punishment going to be if they don't do this or they don't do that? I don't know. That's my thoughts. Mm. I mean,
if you damage a vehicle, yeah, you're responsible for it.
Yeah.
So if they rip the seat or they purposely rip the rear view mirror
so
off or whatever.
It would be covered already, I'm sure. There was some reporting language. What page was that?
Nine.
And what one are you looking at?
This version, I believe.
Right. I don't have this one page.
Page 9?
Yep.
Page 9, 7.1.9.
And when we compare to what was there.
And this is what was there. This is what the county executive suggested.
Yes. So we might be somewhere in the middle of both of these.
It is down here. This is
did I mark these wrong?
It's stricken.
Do the pages match up?
Correct. So this is the actual policy that the ledge adopted 10 years ago. And then this is what the county executive has proposed we go to.
Yes. Required aside from fuel efficient or placement for the general policy. And what they removed was, we talked about this morning. So this has to do with the monitoring and reauthorization. So the way the Charlie Busick policy, this is, so we start, and what are we over here? Right here? So this is
7.1.9.
Yep. Okay, and this was stricken out of it.
In their suggestion.
Yes.
And then there's this little blurb that they added here.
So it's more or less, we got it. Don't worry about it. And this requires...
With the 7.1.10?
This requires
10?
A more of a report.
Which one are we... Are these reports, do they match up at all?
They do. So this is what is in the current... county policy that the ledge adopted. This is what they have suggested. So they
pull this out.
Herb got it.
I don't think that should be crossed out. What about insurance? Who collects this information to run through the insurance company annual to make sure people are still licensed and to get us a good deal on our insurance?
We agree with. And but they did tweak a couple of things that we're going to talk about right now. Whether we want to go closer to this,
safety guy,
closer to this, or someone. And they
monitor DMV records.
Okay. Okay.
I think that's what they think, but...
Page 9 of this one.
Yeah, I don't think
they
that's
they removed the semi-annual monitoring.
Correct.
So do we want to require
a monitor
little more of
a... Like a GPS?
Yeah. More of a report, right?
So in the existing policy, it says, on a semi-annual basis, fleet administration shall re-evaluate, update, and reauthorize take-home vehicle assignments for all executive agencies. And then the exec suggested, instead of that, the safety department is tasked with authorizing county driving permits as well as monitoring DMV records and employee driver status. Not quite the same.
Well, one's talking about employees, and one is talking about the policy,
right.
The
right.
Administration of the.
The policy also speaks to every, in theory, every vehicle, specifically
mm-hmm.
every take-home vehicle in the county. And then we're back to, even in the Charlie Busick, or even in what they gave us, the executive, overseeing executive vehicles. But this policy speaks to all vehicles as well. So everyone should have to justify the number of call-outs and whether it's that position, whether it's in the executive branch of government or not, there should be some type of annual look at whether the take-home vehicles are necessary and being used the way that we anticipated. Mm. What we were given kind of takes everything out, and what we have here isn't perfect either. Herb, what are your thoughts?
I think the way it's in the old policy, every 6 months they have to reevaluate and reauthorize. So that somebody's got to put eyes on it that's responsible and go through an analysis and say, yeah, keep the car, or no, you no longer need the car.
And can we line it up with a number of other similar reports that we get?
I think so. We get annual reports from the exec anyways.
Yeah. So can it just be, can it be made part of that?
At least
process,
annually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, so take away semi and just leave it at, move it to annual?
Mm-hmm.
I know this hasn't been followed since the charter change.
Mm-hmm.
Was it followed in the past?
No.
Prior to the...
No. That's why we have all these vehicles. Most of the vehicles that were take-home vehicles that were purchased, especially inside of certain departments, would have never been purchased if the policy was being followed.
I mean prior to...
the executive, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot of the vehicles that we're dealing with are rebuys of vehicles that were there that shouldn't have been, to be honest, according to this policy.
Mm.
But that's every that's something we deal with a lot in the county, as far as we have all these, and that's something we have to think about when we pass. You know, we have, we pile up these policies, and then we, but we have no real logistical idea on who the hell's going to check them and follow through on them. Which I think should be, I mean, if the legislature's going to attack it, I've talked about it, the audit committee for years, it doesn't get together, it doesn't do much besides pick the end of the year audit and the budget review, but I think they should probably have a policy portal and do an annual report themselves on every policy and whether it's followed. It's something I was told was happening when I brought it up yet again, but it definitely is not. What do we think about this wording? So far we kind of agree we're just going to take semi out. Do we want to put any more specifics in, and does anyone have any other issues on the side of this?
As far as semi-annual?
We're taking semi out and just making it annual, like a lot of these other reports that we get.
I think it's a good change.
Yeah.
So stick with the original wording, make it annual, and leave it is where we're at?
And address the audit committee issue.
Yeah, that's a bigger issue on all policies,
mm-hmm.
I think. You know,
yeah.
This isn't. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Chair, if you don't mind, I just would call your attention to, I think the executive's policy proposal where they're talking about replacing vehicles of the same similar class, I really think that their proposed change about acquiring fuel-efficient vehicles and alternative fuel vehicles is speaking to that specific paragraph, and you may want to consider that language or some form of it for that paragraph that is speaking to replacing of a similar class.
You're talking about 1.8?
7.1.11 in the old policy.
And in the new one?
And in the new one, the language is proposed as 7.1.9.
I like the newly updated one.
So that as you're looking to replace, you consider whether or not fuel-efficient and alternative fuels make sense for that vehicle purchase.
Is that spoken to in the green fleet policy?
Probably, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it would
it
be,
doesn't even matter, no?
Yeah, it would be being done according to another policy already.
Should we codify it?
Maybe a referral to the Green Fleet possible?
Yeah.
Any replacement is
compliant with Green Fleet?
Right. Subject.
Mm-hmm. On the strikeout, that 7.1.10, that is currently being done by our safety department. So our safety department issues the driving permits, driving badges.
I think.
We're back on the original.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. So we might want something in there. That information comes from the safety department. I think the strikeout is because it doesn't. The fleet manager doesn't get that. Safety
Correct.
Department gets it and it goes to fleet. So, maybe simply the safety department monitors all.
Or you just take the bottom of what's asked on 7191 and make that 710. This becomes 7.1.10.
The safety department is tasked with authorizing the
upcoming. All right, let's get these three or four things written down so we can make it official.
And why not make it risk management if you're changing?
Because they haven't yet acted on them.
That would be a technical small amendment that we could put in if and when. Chris, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to check to see if Natalie heard a comment about the Green Fleet.
Sort of.
Okay.
So far, I have officially.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. People are throwing things out. So we're going to do remove semi from annual. That's step one. March suggested using their language, but then you guys were also talking about Green Fleet language for 7.19 in the executive's recommendation.
So
right?
it'll be
subject to whatever requirements is set forth in the Green Fleet policy. And we can,
that's already in 7.1.11. Replace vehicles similar class unless it can be demonstrated no longer or when it's necessary to meet the fuel efficiency, conservation, or environmental goals of the county.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is the numbers here aren't coinciding.
They will,
so
which is making it harder to look at because
point 10 is safety department is tasked with authorizing the county.
Yes.
Point 11 is the Green Fleet add-on, and it could be added right to the end of the paragraph.
But what Herb's saying,
it's already there.
It's already
7.1.
To meet the environmental goals of the county.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, we were looking at
to meet the environmental goals.
Yeah.
Of
the Green Fleet is there.
Yeah. And if we change
the
name,
what we're trying to do is
purple
compare
the
two where the situations where we didn't necessarily think the committee fully agreed and just wanted to move forward with what we were given as a template. So we're going back and forth in these, and it does get a little confusing. So I think Herb's right. If we wanted to literally mention the green, change the language of 7.1.11 to reference the Green Fleet, we could. If anybody wanted to do that. But I do think that more or less speaks to it. And since there is a policy that's already been voted through by the legislature, then about the Green Fleet, so it's happening. It would be duplicative.
I don't think it hurts to reference it. That's fine.
All right. So forget the Green Fleet aspect. We have the semi. And what was the other one or two things?
So 7.1.10 in the actual policy has been stricken as a suggested change because safety now does this, not the fleet manager. So do we want to just completely strike that line, or do we want to reference
the safety? Just switch fleet manager.
Why don't we just strike 7.1.10 out of the old policy, create a new 7.1.10 that says the safety department is tasked with the authorization county driver permits, as well as monitoring DMV records for employees' driver's license status.
I like that.
Which is what is
they, yes, and right. That is a function of operation, so if that's what they want, that makes sense.
All right, got it.
Everybody happy?
Yes.
Okay, so that was there any page 8, and then there was a record keeping one as well.
Yes, it's on page 8. It's all about record keeping.
Okay.
the only changes I made were like fleet administration to fleet manager, county administrator to county comptroller.
So we see in bold on 7186 and 7187, correct?
Yeah, so if everyone goes to page 8, he's looking at record keeping. 7.1.8, it kind of goes along with the whole reporting aspect.
Mm-hmm. On the bottom, though, instead of an Ulster County Legislature under 8.7, should it be the financial analyst?
Well, when you say ledge, are you talking about our financial?
Yeah. Legislative financial analyst. Because you're not going to get the legislature to look at it.
Clerk of the legislature, maybe?
Maybe somebody with an analytical background.
List of take home. We could get an email. Why couldn't every legislator get the same email or report or document at any given time? But if we wanted to put clerk of the legislature to be dispersed, or Chris, what do you think?
Okay.
I think if you reference the legislature work, I mean, I think by default it goes to
Vicky. Yeah,
it goes to Vicky.
Okay.
Vicky does what she needs to do.
She'll distribute
it. We're doing anything different with these dates since we're not doing a semi-annual report.
Yeah, so when do the majority of these reports we get go out? Is it an end of the year?
I think it's by the end of January, right? For the previous year?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's change that to that. June.
If you want, sorry to interrupt, if you don't specify, we could say to the clerk of the legislature.
Okay, let's switch it.
That's a charter
to the
position.
Yeah, clerk of the legislature, the one part, instead of Ulster County Legislature,
mm-hmm.
and then let's change June 30th and December 31st to whatever the
January
exact language is for the
following
majority
year.
Of these reports.
January 31st for the previous year.
Okay. Everybody good with that?
And as long as we're going backwards,
okay.
It's just 6.12.
So those are the things you guys added in the last meeting.
Yeah, but I thought we had added, because we have, it's not just sheriffs that do special investigations, it's the DA's office too.
Yes, and there's a couple of people in.
But this specifically says sheriffs. Shouldn't it be
okay.
With the exception of vehicles that may be used for investigation purposes? I mean 6.12. Because we also brought up CPS as well.
Sure.
But shouldn't it be with the exception of
vehicles?
I think
when the motion was made, it was just sheriffs,
was
but
sheriffs.
We can change it tonight.
On the old? Are you talking about the old?
Yeah.
So
the
page
one
6, the blue section that was added at the last meeting.
I like that.
You
law enforcement.
Yeah,
law enforcement.
But would that also cover CPS?
Okay.
Law enforcement vehicles.
Yeah.
And special investigations for the DA's office.
Okay. So we're good. We're going to change that to law enforcement.
Got it.
And what was the other thing?
Well, that was it, because I was thinking CPS and DA special investigations. But if that's all covered under law enforcement, then
mm-hmm. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've finished uniform marking and reporting.
We changed legislative staff here to clerk of the legislature to be consistent.
What page?
6.12.1.
I guess it'll be all of them.
And some of these things, if we find them later, we're all in agreement on it.
Well, the only thing is,
you can do auto correct.
Yeah. Oh,
now we're talking
that's
about
where we were
Sarah,
talking
and that's
about
what we're
going
to be getting into with
yeah.
GPS. So let's. That's what we're on to the next. Yes. This would be. It would be Vicky that would probably be going in and be the budget analyst, and we'd be asking. I guess we could be. Requesting it through Vicky, ultimately it would be our budget analyst that would have the access to go ahead and give
us. I agree, but for consistency, it says the GPS info is for the comptroller, And if it said clerk of the legislature, right after it says via an appointed member. So that allows the comptroller or clerk to appoint a member. It just seems a little bit like we'll have someone in the legislative staff do it.
So what's better language?
Clerk of the legislature.
Okay.
And then the clerk can assign somebody.
Yep.
That's 6.12.1.
Yep.
Got it.
Thank you.
Is that why we had notated 6.12, or was there something else?
You wanted to update it further.
Yes. So I noticed in the looking at Samsara myself recently, take-home vehicles were not, you know, wasn't easy to navigate, and take-home vehicles were not even notated. And I think in our Samsara system, we should have the software notate take-home vehicles. So no matter who's looking it up, someone in the executive branch, comptroller, legislative, you yourself, Kim, that you're going to see where they're going to be notated in some way. Much easier to pull a report or to look a complaint up or to do a quick look at something. And the other part is I think we should assign the name of the and title of the person that has that vehicle in Samsara. I mean, if you're wondering where Bob is, Bob was supposed to be back an hour ago. Where the hell is he? I mean, how do you get on that system? It's a lot more work to go ahead and look up these different take-home vehicles, which is one of the reasons we're happy. I mean, there's a million reasons, but that's one of them, keeping an eye and deterring abuse of these take-home vehicles. So I think it should probably be notated. Did anyone have any issues with that being part of the policy?
There's a spot on there that I think I might... mainly for like car finishes,
okay.
Go into the car, but I gotta see if I can add.
Go ahead.
Like add an attribute.
You've
been on there now.
Naming convention for
okay.
Anything that's a take-home vehicle as well. Like
okay.
Each vehicle has a code
right.
That identifies the vehicle.
Yep.
You could have a TH at the beginning of you know
mm-hmm.
For take-home
yeah,
something
like
that.
Attribute.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's a spot
mm-hmm.
There.
Okay.
Because we did all the substations and all the different
so
areas.
Okay.
That people don't want to
take
yes.
Home title
okay.
And employee.
Yes. So, yeah, take home title and employee will be.
Should we do department?
And department of take home, yes. All four of those things will be permanently notated in our Samsara software
mm-hmm.
Or our all our GPS software.
Software.
Yeah. Because
yeah, the pool
yeah.
Vehicles, you can do that
yeah.
Too.
It's
no,
new
it's
to have it. All these things will get better, make it easier and easier.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Will it keep a record on the pool vehicle? Like 6 months ago it was Kevin, and 3 months ago it was Joe, and then I had it yesterday, and or is that really overcomplicated? This is
I
just for permanent take-home.
It
so it's not pool.
Permanent take-home.
Okay.
Well, pool
okay.
Vehicles.
That's a whole different.
Yeah.
Okay.
The forms to access
okay.
A pool vehicle to
okay.
Go to a conference or something.
But every day, jumping in the truck and going over
that
to adjust it.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah,
we had
a
FOB
standard
system or something, that would be a tougher thing to
yeah.
Do without
yeah.
Taking
yeah.
A lot of time.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a good thought. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that does software, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're on to employee status. There's not...
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Just one thing.
Are we still going back?
When I was reading through this, if you look at 5.4, call out, it says that the employee is to report to a work location. If you look in the definition of the work location, it means an office, a site, that... The employee reports to perform normally scheduled work.
Okay, so that's not the right word.
No, so if we take out work, call out means directed with the employee to report to a location during all 40 respond emergencies require immediate response. So if you take out the work part, you're telling me he has to go to a location. because a work location is where he normally
yes
mm-hmm.
works,
but most of these call outs are to random places,
right?
On,
it's going
to
be
yeah.
a mile marker on a
yes.
road somewhere. So if you just take out the word work on 5.4, it fits.
I'm certainly good with that. Okay, now employee status. Do we want to have in here that part-time employees, should a part-time, can we come up with a scenario a part-time employee would have a take-home? Or should it be something that requires some other level of...
Unless he's got to report to a remote location tomorrow morning to meet on a job site or something.
But a part-time person, we're part-time, we can get a vehicle from the fleet. I'm saying a take-home vehicle... A permanent take-home vehicle.
Not permanent.
Yeah, a permanent
okay.
take-home vehicle, which these take-home vehicles are permanent while you're in the position, in theory. Should a part-time employee have a take-home vehicle, or is that something we feel comfortable putting into the policy? This is not a no-brainer, so that's why I put it
yeah,
in here.
Yeah.
I know for our department, we definitely have some opportunities where that happens. It's Joe Steiner, who runs the dive team, has one. He's part-time. There's some school resource officers that have them. So there are definitely sometimes some retired investigators, yeah, detectives.
Why would a school resource officer have a take-home vehicle? Steyer makes a lot of sense, but it's a very unique situation.
School resource officer?
Yes.
They get called after
yeah,
hours of school. They're on call at 24/7 from the school.
Yeah.
So if there's a lockdown or something.
If there's anything going on school-related and anyone makes a threat after hours, they get involved and they have to go to the scene.
Or even students that have issues at home will visit every once in a while.
And he's heard a lot
sounds
of
like thousands of people that work in the county and school districts, I don't know, that probably have more off-hours requirements. None of them get take-home vehicles. I don't know why.
They do store a lot of their emergency equipment in it, package shooter
their mobile
equipment,
office, yeah.
And it's a mobile office for their computer. It's something where you don't want to leave, again, your rifle and plate carrier and helmet, you know, just park somewhere.
Perhaps they should be full-time, though.
The officer?
Yeah.
Sometimes there's not enough full-time spots, you know, so part-timers fill in because it's cheaper for the school district to hire a part-timer than it is for a full-timer.
They do get back.
Well, who hires a... The school districts don't hire our officers.
They reimburse,
but they don't hire. The school district would make the decision to hire and say, I want a part-time.
They could come to us and say, we don't want a full-timer because we can't afford it. We want a part-timer.
Well, they'd be part-time for the school. Doesn't mean they'd have to be part-time for us.
I guess it depends on the situation.
Well, if we decide to just let them be part-time, or we say, no, you're going to have a 30-some-hour work week.
They don't have to pay them in the summer. As a full-time deputy, they're going to get paid in the summer when school's off, but as a part-time deputy, they're not covering them for their whole year's salary.
I mean, this policy, I mean, just like everything that we do, it's not going to be a cover 100%.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's going to cover some percentage, and there's going to be exceptions. So this sounds more like an exception than the rule.
Yeah. So should there be an exception clause,
how
or should it be, or
there?
Can we talk about, Natalie makes a good point, we could talk about halftime. Should they at least have to be halftime, or can you work, you know, 8 hours a week and get a take-home vehicle?
As opposed to like 20 hours? So.
Yeah.
There's
that makes sense.
Section that I can't find it and give you the number for it.
20 hours would be fair. Right, go ahead, Kathy.
That there, I thought this was addressed in a section that basically said that it wasn't the role, but that, and there's a very broad statement that we're trying to minimize this for the county, so that's right at the top. But I don't see a reason to go down to the level of deciding in advance that a half-time or a part-time person couldn't have one, because you've got very clear guidelines now of what the specifics are that allow it, and the examples that were cited certainly seem to fall in that. So
We haven't gotten any numbers from the Sheriff's Department, and we're going to have a whole other meeting with just the Sheriff's Department, but we haven't gotten any numbers on how many times the individuals that have take-home vehicles that are not part of an undercover investigate, you know, the exempted, but we have yet to receive the numbers of how many call-outs these positions have, so it's hard to even...
So should we put
them
in marker there?
There's another second. Maybe reading the wrong, the document that has the colored ink says that had a strike-throughs for all the hours, that it wasn't going to be based on how many hours or how many call-outs. Because the person...
That's the executives.
Okay.
I think most people like the idea of some kind of requirement for having a reason. I mean, the whole point of us getting together is, do you ultimately need a take-home vehicle? And to justify it, there's got to be... They had a neat calculator. Tracy Portels loved this calculator. I think it probably would be interesting to use. We kind of decided to have it be more of a tool, but not a mandate to use it at this point, but we can talk about that briefly. But they did have, and most policies like this, if not all, that I've seen looking around the state and other parts of the country, all have a basic requirement for, and in the definition of why you would have a take-home vehicle, it speaks to the reasons, and then you have a number of off-duty calls that you would have, which we're calling call-outs, and I think that requirement is basically the backbone of what we're doing here.
So the examples that were given were that people need to have emergency equipment and go in the middle of the night, which seems to me to fit with the policy. And if that only happened once in a year, but it was needed, that would be sufficient for me to think that that...
That's why we're going to have a...
Makes sense.
There's only a couple of...
And the idea of minimizing, I think, can be balanced against the fact that these cars parked in remote parts of the county, which I represent, are beneficial. People say they feel better seeing these cars. So, though...
Okay, hold on. Okay, we got to move on. But I think most of the things you're referencing are going to be is specific to law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're having a separate meeting for law enforcement.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone
and
feels
there's also
good
a whole
about
separate section.
Seeing a county, an S10 or a 2500 Silverado, but they do feel good about seeing a squad vehicle... deputy's vehicle in their driveway. I was talking about it last night. I'd love my neighbor to have one. But we'll get to that with law enforcement. Most of the things that I think you just touched upon are about law enforcement, which is why we're going to have that separate meeting. There was a situation in DPW where I think some of the tire trucks that could be the mechanics, there could be a unique situation where there's so many tools that they keep that there was a conversation to be had about allowing that to be a take-home vehicle so they didn't have to go to the yard and load it up. There was very few of those situations. The only other situation was law enforcement. We were talking about weapons, and we might have a first responder type situation with a decent amount of equipment as well.
Yeah.
So that would be the only place. Most of what we're talking about here is that doesn't apply, and we'll deal with all that in the law enforcement meeting. But what do you got real quick?
So our battalion coordinators are less than half-time. They're stipend employees. We have six of them, and they have take-home vehicles that have the whole back is set up for response and managing, coordinating resources of, you know, during an incident.
Yep. We'll definitely be lumping you in with the law enforcement meeting and going over that.
Separate.
There's a, you know, how many people, all six people on a call, we'll get into that. Is there a way, you've seen other places?
Not a problem.
Yeah.
And
you may very well end up convincing us all, if I had to guess, that a lot of these probably don't need to be taken away in some of those situations. So did we want to do 20-hour? Do they work 20 hours, the part-timers?
Our battalion coordinators?
Yep.
They're stipends. So it's just
completely
it's based off of readiness,
yeah,
and managing calls as they come in.
Okay.
You know, it all depends on, there's a variation of how many fires are occurring and the things we don't know.
So do we want to leave out the part-time for now?
We'll get back to that when we talk to the sheriffs and stuff, see how widespread it is.
Leave it. The calculator that I just mentioned in our discussions, you've gone back and listened to all the meetings. You don't remember the same way I do. I kind of thought we didn't plan on mandating this, but did it sound like...
I did not remember that language, but that doesn't mean...
Does anyone else have any... What does everybody think about this calculator? This was...
It kind of overcomplicates it.
Yeah. Tracy loved it. But
yeah. She was a very complex person. I like
the biggest issue with it is it's trying to prove almost like business profitability. Is it worth it in dollars and cents? Mm-hmm. But what we're learning is a lot more to it than just dollars and cents. All of these exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'm comfortable leaving it in as a tool, but not a mandate to justify.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anybody have a difference there?
So leaving it in as a tool with some of the exceptions that we've just mentioned.
Or maybe we take it out. I don't know if it's a tool,
yeah.
If we're doing the...
I guess it depends on whether or not we mandate part-time or more with
Kevin,
non-exempted departments.
It doesn't hurt to leave it in, but not something that's... written in stone, does that make sense?
An adjustment
or a guide, I don't know.
Let's leave it for now.
It might need additional language, like also consider the
should be considered
characteristics.
Look, we're now mandating that we have to at least consider certain types of eventually we will.
Okay.
Yeah, so eventually. We'll get there. So now on to one of the bigger topics. So, I did talk to council earlier, and Herb has made the point many times that the state, as far as if we decide to go ahead and recommend and even put into the policy that these positions will no longer have a take-home vehicle, one of the things that was brought up early was that it's a form of pay, it violates the union contract, and we could potentially be sued. I think there's reasons why, if you find case law where this has happened, there probably is a difference between our county. One of those differences is we had a policy on the books that was violated with the purchase of most of those vehicles. Two, we've yet to receive any minutes, correspondence, emails, recordings, where it's on the record that these were part of the pay. And another big reason is there's nothing uniform about it. I think in any successful lawsuit like that, Chris could tell us better, you'd probably have a record of conversation during union negotiations. It would be mentioned in the contract. There wouldn't certainly be a policy on the books that was violated. And lastly, you would have very similar vehicles, and you'd have all the same positions getting the same vehicles. We have Mustangs. We have very similar positions that don't have vehicles. Some do. Some have come in through the years. This position never had a vehicle outside the union contract. He got a vehicle. Suddenly that position has a vehicle. You add all those things up, I don't think there's a legitimate lawsuit that would come our way. That being said, and I don't think it would be successful. Did I say anything unfair?
Well,
I'm not a lawyer.
But he should be.
I could have been.
I think it has to really be examined on a case-by-case basis, but there's no express provision for take-home vehicles. However, if it is incidental to the position, that's what an argument would be based upon. So a person who says, I have this vehicle because it is part of my job, it is what I use to do certain things that is incidental, as the term is defined in the labor law, for example, they could make a colorable claim. I'm not saying they'd be successful, but they could make an argument.
Anybody can bring a lawsuit,
of course.
Okay.
I think an alternative, as a theory, could be to just say, for future reference, you know, we don't permit it moving forward. We say we can stop it now.
And we have a new contract coming, in theory, every 2 years. So you could sunset these positions as people retire and leave. That's another approach we can have. By the way, Herb does talk about all the time, the state, the DOT, did this on a grand level, massive level, and they were able to do it. So where do we want to go with that? Once we decide the positions that we do not think should have a take-home vehicle, and that, and it doesn't pass, or we pass a policy, and then the policy is then going to be followed, and that means it's going to kind of flag a bunch of vehicles. How does this committee want to write this policy going forward? Do we want to more or less go for it? Management is not much of a problem if it's not a union position, and then the union position say, look, if you got a problem, bring it on, and if anybody has a problem, it can always be negotiated, give them an extra buck, or do we want to go a sunset route?
When we started this process, I thought what was going to happen was each department head was going to come in here and justify their take-home vehicles. The HMS, I don't know what the equivalent is here, the HMS-2, which is the lead foreman for a section of the county, has a take-home vehicle. And the reason is blah, 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 blah. The HMS-1, which works, they're more like crew leaders. Each HMS-2 would have maybe 3 or 4 crews, and the head of that crew is an HMS-1. Typically, their vehicles stay at the residency. They come in the morning, they get their state vehicle, and they go out, and a lot of those are 6-passenger pickups or whatever, and their crew gets in, and they go off to whatever location they're going to. So when the state went through the process, that's sort of kind of what they did. Brought in the resident engineers and said, okay, does an HMS-1 need to take a vehicle home? No, he drives to the residency every day. So why can't he leave his truck at the residency, pick it up, and take his crew out? Does anybody in the crew need to have a pickup or a car? No, because they all report to the residency at 6:30 in the morning. They're assigned their tasks, and they leave from the residency. So when the policy was being rewritten, there were positions that did have take-home vehicles. But that came out of the discussion with the resident engineers across the state. So I thought, you know, like DPW was going to come in here and say...
Well, remember, we did have those meetings where we had every position. Kim and I don't know if anyone else from DPW, they were all invited in. They were all invited in, and we had that discussion. Amanda was here. Kim was here. I think one of them, one of the meetings, we had another representative from DPW, and we went through, we had the numbers.
Right, there was a guy that was in the union or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
We gave them their chance to bring it. We invited. The sheriff was bringing lots of people in to talk to us specifically about each and every vehicle. We gave DPW the chance.
Right. So I'm just saying that was my thought when we started this process. People were going to come in and justify the take-home vehicles. If they haven't done that, I don't understand why.
If there's a justification for it.
I'm sure there are. But you know, a little disparaging comment to you, but you don't have a clue on what a foreman in the county is responsible for, or why he would need a vehicle or not need a vehicle.
Well, certainly.
But somebody in DPW.
The fleet manager would, and she works in the yard every day.
Yeah. Plus, there was a document. There was a document that was turned in by DPW. And we were supposed to have Lyle come in, but then it got canceled by Tom Baker. Because he was field operations, but it got canceled way back.
And Lyle was an individual that lives out of county, had 2 call-outs the entire year, a little short of 48. I was under the impression in the meetings that we had that we gave them the chance, and we got no information as to a reason. And I've talked to rank and file. I just talked to, I mean, over the last 3 or 4 days, I've probably talked to 5 or 6 different individuals in DPW. One has a truck, the other 4 or 5 don't. And what I'm hearing is they don't have enough trucks during the day to do their jobs, and they're watching supervisors drive in $50,000 to $75,000 trucks, and half those trucks more or less sit there all day or not being used, and they need trucks. They desperately need trucks. Are we short trucks, regular day-to-day use trucks?
We're waiting on three more to come in.
While these fancy new trucks are being driven around, we have the men and women that are doing the real work all day long. They don't even have vehicles to drive. And from what I'm hearing from everybody that I talk to, which is quite a bit, there is no justification for these take-home vehicles. I've been told by several of the men that have take-home vehicles, I don't need it. I could report and get in the truck and go and do my job. So, and that's what other counties look like. That's why Dutchess County does not have 25, 30 people driving very nice, expensive trucks back and forth home when there's only a couple of call outs a year, and it's not an active shooter that they're reporting to. It's certainly something they can go, if they needed a vehicle, they can go get. And that's how the state DOT is now doing it for the most part in similar positions. That's how Dutchess and Orange County are doing it. And I certainly think myself, it's probably how Ulster County should be doing it. And by the way, it's terrible for morale. You know, when a supervisor has a $75,000 truck, rips the sticker off, and they're driving, you know, they got their windows down because there's exhaust leaking into the, you know, cabin that they're driving in during the day, that's not good for morale.
So at what point,
or county tax dollars,
what point are we at? Ready to make a decision on who gets a vehicle, or we need more information from each department?
The policy, as we've laid it out, will basically speak to who gets a take-home vehicle at this point. And it looks like there's a discussion to be had with law enforcement and the DA's office, but the rest of the county, it's kind of, there are going to be some vehicles. There's going to be quite a few. DPW would probably be, as we're going with this policy, is going to be the most affected department as far as take-home vehicles becoming more of a day-to-day pool vehicle. But other than that, the policy does it. That's what we're discussing right now,
so
how to do it.
And the policy, what I would do is, you got the policy, and everybody that's in danger of losing a vehicle has maybe 3 months to appeal that decision.
Mm-hmm.
They come in front of, I don't know if this committee or whatever, and make their case, and we're like, oh, that's a good point, or no, you know, or if they don't appeal, they got to turn in their vehicle in 6 months.
Do we have an appeal?
Yeah, we don't have, you know, 6 months to do this, and we've given.
You're talking sunset, though, and that's forever.
Sunset once they.
It could be 18 years.
From now. That's true.
You know, it's
I don't like the sunset. I just think we do it because I don't think there's
within
a, I don't
six
think
months.
There's a
I mean, people that might not have a vehicle, they need opportunities, imaginary opportunities, if they are, to find other transportations back and forth to work.
And that does not stop during union negotiations if the exec side and the union side decides that there's three or four positions that they really believe, even though they can't prove it, if they really believe that through the years they paid that position differently. By the way, the side of the union that has buildings and grounds hardly has any vehicles. The highway department has all the vehicles, take-home wise. And you have people in buildings and grounds that report in the middle of the night to things. You also have people on the highway side, a handful of people that do report to things in the middle of the night that don't have take-home vehicles either, and report to more things in the middle of the night that some of the guys that have take-home vehicles do. So it's kind of wacky that way. But the side that has all the take-home vehicles just got a $7 raise. The side, the buildings and grounds side that doesn't have take-home vehicles, they don't have vehicles, and they didn't get a $7 raise on buildings and grounds. So it doesn't make a lot of sense, the pay and even the idea that there'd be a lawsuit. But I'm comfortable going forward, and whatever this policy that we've said, whatever it applies to, will have the exemption, but the exemption is going to be, like I said, more of the law enforcement first responder side and special equipment side. And you can always come for an amendment. They can always come and say, we think this position has, and it would probably have to be an act, an amendment to the policy down the road, that this position now receives a take-home vehicle, and that'd be fine. Go ahead.
Legislator Roberts, I think, makes a good suggestion. I'm very concerned about the cost to the county of having to deal with litigation, whether or not we win, especially on something that's been a long-standing problem that we're trying to fix. But usually in medicine, I say that it will take as long to fix something as it took for it to develop. So if something develops slowly over time, it may take a little more time to fix. So I would either favor sunset so that you don't, you know, throw this right on people, or the idea of issuing the draft and then having a period where the departments can come in. If they see the draft and they know exactly, you know, how you're intending it to function, and coming in and making those appeals before locking something in, I don't see any reason to buy the possibility of lawsuits even if we would win them.
Chris, how about the policy upon enacting and then goes away after some type of a 1 month, 3 month period where the policy would not take place until a certain date, and in those 3 months, let's say, there would be an opportunity for anybody with a take-home vehicle to come to this committee or another committee and ask for an exemption. And then that exemption could then be added in to the resolution as one of the exempteds, because we will have exemptions after we talk to law enforcement.
I think that could quell some person's discontent with the policy. However, if the claim is based on contract, it wouldn't necessarily extinguish the claim if the contract term has not yet expired. So even if that window comes and goes, they still have a colorable claim. I'm not saying they do, I'm just saying hypothetically, based on the agreement that's in place at the time, that still exists.
Okay, what if we do it this way? We put in that it's dealt with at the next contract. These vehicles will be going away upon the end of this contract, even though it's not mentioned in the contract.
That is prudent.
And we just, going forward, the executive, we would eventually vote up or down on the union contract, but the executive and the union would get together and they would figure out whether or not they think, and if it was, and put a monetary value to whatever they were getting out of their vehicle and put that into the next contract, and we don't have to worry about it. Is everybody happy with that?
Okay.
No, all right, let's hear you. Because they're all going to go get a raise out of it, out of the vehicle. Who just got a $7 raise, they're going to abuse
that. I'm not happy with that. I mean, how do you compensate somebody for a $70,000 truck that they're not supposed to have to begin with?
There is a calculation for their benefit for that truck that they take home, because that's reported to the IRS.
It's only $3 a day.
I understand that, but when you start talking about how do you compensate somebody for the $75,000 truck, we already know it's $3 a day. So you have to figure that out.
And if you do it at the end of the contract,
look, that's
it would, then you're acknowledging that it was somehow part of the contract.
Yeah, you can never, once you give a union benefit, you can't take it away.
This was never given.
But you're assuming that it is.
So if you do it at the end of the contract, you're not acknowledging that this was indeed somehow an unwritten part of, it was contractual.
A wink and a nod.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the lawsuit would be based on, is
yes, it would be.
What was past practice, not what policy is, because it's not in the policy.
And then we're acknowledging past practice.
Mr. Chairman, I got another meeting, so I got to leave, unfortunately.
Where are you at overall on this topic?
I think that, you know, we're going down the best path with the old policy as corrected. There are some things in there that maybe, we can look at as far as the...
But I just mean this policy, the passing of this policy will undoubtedly mean a certain amount of take-home vehicles will be taken away. I think we've established that so far, even what we have in the policy right now. What do you, overall, where are you at on moving forward? Moving forward with it?
Yeah.
Do you want to do some, do you want to sunset? Do you want to just move? I'm comfortable moving forward.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem.
Yeah. All right, quick vote.
I mean,
then.
You know,
what are we voting on?
I'll explain it.
Oh, okay.
to cushion that a little bit is you have a sunset.
Okay. No,
when,
okay, so
you know, different. From the time the policy is enacted to, you know, whatever. the review is going to have to take place because this policy is going to change everybody's take-home vehicle. Because now they have to do a review and sign off that it is a requirement.
And that they use it a certain way off hours. Otherwise,
well,
they will
yeah,
not
but
have
it. That's going to flesh itself out with the first annual report. So if they get a take-home vehicle and they took it out four times throughout the year, well, then that has to be revisited as to whether it's going to be a take-home
vehicle.
It'll
never flush out because they can continue to say every single contract, even though it's not spoken to, it was understood
mm-hmm.
that I got paid less because I have this take-home vehicle. That's what they're saying. I don't buy it. I think there's a million reasons that I went through why it would not pan out in court. I don't think anyone would bring and the things that would come out in court about the use of these vehicles and how ununiform it was and when they got their vehicles. I don't think they'd ever bring it. But and I think it'd be a rather quick loss
when,
if they did.
When it was done by the state, and also
yeah.
I worked at the Thruway.
Yeah.
I got over there, and the second year I was there, we went through the whole process for the Thruway. And there wasn't any discussion or this is our policy. This is how we're going to conduct business. And you work in a user state, meaning you serve at the pleasure of your employer. And your employer probably doesn't really even have to have a reason to fire you. But.
Well, the
union you do.
Yeah, but the union.
There's a whole process, yeah.
So.
Yes. You're talking about a union.
Yeah.
But. And we had union contracts, but it was defined in the contract what this is, who gets what, who does what. And
so
that policy changed.
Yes.
So who got what and whatever, it all got, you know, in a turmoil, and this is the policy. But from what I'm hearing, and I'm late now, from what I'm hearing, show me the union contract where it says, this is our policy for take-home vehicles, and it's part of your job.
It's not in there.
So I don't understand what you're bickering over then.
I'm with you on that. I think we should. I'm comfortable going for it.
The union, if this were to become a bona fide issue, the union is going to file on past practice. And that's been held up in a court before. But
when it was spoken to in the contract,
no.
Or when there was significant evidence of past practice,
yeah.
But you'd need all those things that I named before to probably be successful in court, which
yes.
There isn't.
And when you go to court, they're going to say, if every HMS-2 in the state had a truck, that's a practice. If 10% of the HMS-2s in the state have a truck, the other 90% don't, how's that a practice? So,
yeah,
I gotta go.
Or you could give me an extra
$15
a week in
a
paycheck, which would only be set
for
$2,000 a year.
Later.
We'll take the cars back.
Kevin?
Yes.
Where are you at?
I thought I made myself clear.
So, can you still describe what you want for me?
So, we're talking about the take home vehicles. I don't think you need to do a sunset. Like Herbie said, this is our policy. You had a vehicle, thank you. You can appeal it, you know, and you have 3 months to appeal it or some date. They don't have to appeal it in front of this body because, you know, maybe we're not fit to do that. Maybe somebody, you know, pick a 3-random person committee or whatever appeal process and then be done with it. And then if they lose the appeal, then they have to turn the vehicles in, say, 3 months after that.
This is the appeal process, because if they lose the appeal, they can still, in theory, do everything they're threatening to do now. So it doesn't...
Well, maybe make a note in the appeal process that you can appeal this, and that will take away and your right to bring suit against the county.
I don't think that we would be able to do that legally.
I
so
see it all the time.
Exactly how you're putting it, I don't think. I think you could say if you appeal, you are agreeing, you basically sign away there, but I don't even know if, I don't know how that would work. We're certainly not.
I mean, everybody here should have a right to be heard, whether if they're getting their vehicle taken away. For you know, everybody should have a right to be heard.
They did. they had representatives at several meetings.
And I understand that, Jim. Maybe not good representation, but
I agree with Kevin that I think by giving the little period of appeal, this could be the body if we keep this group together on a monthly basis. They have a chance to come appeal in front of us. I don't know the legal results of all that, but at least they can bring their case to us. We can consider if it's part of the exemptions.
Okay, so real quick, before we move on to a couple of the other things that are going to be easier, we're obviously not totally decided on how we're going to handle the vehicles that will be taken from take home and put into a pool. So let's go over a couple of future meetings, because we're going to have to get together at least three more times if we are going to dive in and have an appeal process that's legal and functioning and have it ready to be voted on in a month or two. So there's three future meeting dates. It would be great if we had enough people to be able to make them all. November 7th day, November 13th evening, November 18th evening. Can anybody tell me what they can make here?
Can you do that?
Because we're going to need a whole meeting just to go over, I think, this, the union aspect of, or the,
November 18th day, 13th.
How we're going to handle the take-home.
I threw out November 7th as a daytime, but there's a lot more daytimes that could work. There's just not a lot of evening times available at this point. So November 13th and 18th were two of our only evening times available.
The 13th and the 18th?
But we could definitely make daytimes work a lot easier if it worked for the committee.
I can't do the 7th, not 13th and 18th.
I can't do the 7th.
I can't do the 7th either.
If we're looking at daytime, I could email tomorrow and put out more options.
Yeah, I'm available during the day.
We're going to put a bunch of dates out tomorrow. I'll talk to you, and then we'll put a bunch of dates out. And then for daytime and any evening that we can come up with, and it'd be great if everybody tells me, it'd be great if you put down five or six that you can make, because then we'll get the ones that we can have almost everybody here. And the next meeting will be either law enforcement or this.
Do you know if the sheriff's office can do daytime versus evening?
Sheriff's office probably better for evening.
Either is fine.
Okay.
Really?
Either one.
Okay.
Actually, daytime is probably easier.
Okay.
Who should I communicate with for you? Okay.
We could even schedule that meeting over with you guys if you want.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're not going any further with this. We're going to need to go over some different possibilities. There's four or five different ways to go about this. One is some kind of an appeal process that's going to, we're going to need
language,
Chris, to help us on.
Sure.
You have, yep. And then you have sunsetting, just in general. You have kicking it off to the next union negotiation and having them come up with a price, if they feel it's necessary or fair. So there's three or four ways to do it, and then just doing it and seeing if they challenge.
And is there a pool policy if these vehicles have to start coming in, aside from the one that's already written where you just sign, you know, whatever, sign it out? Is there, what if they need it for 3 days? What about on call? You know, what about vacation coverage for, if somebody's out for a week or two?
For which department?
I think
the ones that are not in the sheriff.
I think there's things that could be part of an overall policy. I do think there's a lot of operations there, depending on what you're specifically talking about. Because you mentioned before, knowing who's got what vehicle.
I mean, if you're in England for 2 weeks, you're obviously not going to need your vehicle. You're going to leave it parked in your driveway? Or should it be required that it stays in the on county property?
Yeah, we discussed that, and there was there was, these vehicles sit for week as there were out of vehicles.
Yeah,
we have these vehicles sit in somebody's driveway for weeks or a month at a time. Somebody goes out to do a knee operation.
Mm-hmm.
We can think on that, see if you can find something on that, any language in any other policy. So, also, let's do one more. We only have two more quick ones, but if everybody could, anything else you could see, this is all what we're going off of, is basically Natalie and I going through and notating. People have found some things we didn't find tonight. Herbie, Chris, Aaron, you guys all found a couple of things. Do another quick look before the next meeting. I don't think there's anything of substance, but there may be a language or a definition or a word that we think needs to be changed. So take a look. Anything major, let me know as far as what the executive, and understand that what the two documents are. One is a lightly updated version of what we used to have, and the other is kind of a redline version of what the executive first came up with. Both are in emails recently.
Mm-hmm.
Subject title, Chris, I talked to you about this before. Policies, procedures, and criteria related to authorizing county employees to use Ulster County-owned vehicles to commute to and from work speaks in general. We are talking about everybody, including the sheriff, executive, DA, and I think that I was wondering with you, now that we do have a charter form of government and we do have, there's times it felt like we're just talking about the executive, we're not talking about the sheriff, but overall, with that, with this starting the policy out, does it basically legally apply to everyone except when there's an exemption or something that specifically speaks to? So if it's not specific or exempted, or we don't have it in here, okay, exempt about law enforcement, this or that, then it would apply to everyone equally.
That's the way I read it.
Okay. So the only time we have to mention the sheriff or the DA is when we are getting away from what we have here.
The exemptions.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a countywide policy. It says as much in that initial paragraph.
And then the county. So we're basically down to getting into a couple of things about the sheriff's department, law enforcement, first responders, investigators, which I think we could probably hammer out in 1 hour and a half meeting, and then coming up with a couple of loose ends that we haven't maybe even seen yet, but overall, we're going to have an entire meeting on figuring out how we're going to go forward with the vehicles that are going to be taken away at the passing of this policy and how we're going to do it. And I just feel like there's too many different preferences at this point, so we're going to have to.
We're on the same page.
Yeah, Marcia.
It would be interesting to know. You know, Legislator Litz mentioned that he's experienced this in other agencies. It would be very nice to know how did Bridget or through a authority, how did New York State DOT wind these down?
I know. Yeah, it almost sounds like the union was just kind of met them halfway at the table.
Steamrolled.
Yeah, it got steamrolled. That's what it sounded
like.
You're
on your job. Tournament.
And can we get a list of take-home vehicles from the sheriff?
Well, we provided that. You don't have it.
I don't see it in any of the... I didn't...
I thought we got it, too.
I know we didn't get... We got a generalized thing from the DA and the sheriff. We also have not gotten call-outs as far as take-home vehicles and the number of times this individual was called in the middle of the night and mandated to show up after hours. And that should be tracked.
I think you were working on that a while ago. Somebody was, but every night I threw it.
But shouldn't you, shouldn't that be on the ready? Here you go, like press a button and send it to me? Shouldn't that be being tracked? If you're going to have take-home vehicles and justify a take-home vehicle?
Just a report. very easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of time I
we've requested
just
months.
There was something, we had a pie chart on it. It was
yeah, I thought you had it already.
Right, yeah.
That was
it
was not specific
for?
To
okay.
each vehicle and each department. I literally gave the template that Amanda gave us, was that was a part, was very good. It was the vehicle, the name of the person, the title, that the vehicle make and model and year, and then the number of call-outs for that calendar, I think it was 2023, how many times each individual was called out, and it seemed as though the executive branch of government had it on the ready, which was a good thing.
Investigators. I think we spoke about not...
What's that?
Yeah,
definitely. And do as best you can, and if there's a reason why, and I can come up with some hypotheticals, on might be a little tougher for certain positions to give me that, so then let us know.
I mean,
what's that? Yes.
Just to take into consideration, I mean, if the person does get called out one time for an emergency a year.
One life
saved.
Yeah.
You know, and then some of the vehicles are investigative vehicles. Maybe that's why some of that information would be withheld
right.
due to the
yeah.
fact that
undercover
they're undercover detectives, current investigation.
Which I'm pretty sure. Let me look for it.
It was right before we closed when the meeting stopped. It was right before that last meeting.
Yeah, because we had a lot of redacted vehicle information on it.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll look for it.
I'll try to find it through an old.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. I remember the pie chart, but it didn't really give us a way.
Yeah, because I followed that specific.
Would a call out include somebody going to something early from home? I mean, it says off-duty time or day.
Absolutely, a call-out. If a deputy, which we're exempting in a marked vehicle, has a take-home, and that's one of the big reasons why we exempted it, and most counties do, is if their shift starts at 8 and they live 45 minutes away, somewhere in the county, hopefully, and they're on their way, 7:15, they get in their car, and something goes over the radio, they can go right there. And that's one of the reasons that it's totally exempted.
Actually,
and that would count as
that's
a call.
Good, but I was asking about something slightly different, which is if they have duty that they can pick up without having to drive 30 miles someplace and then go back. So I didn't think that fit exactly a call out. I didn't see another definition that would cover that. But in a county that's as wide as our county is, the geographic area, the ability to save some of that travel time and wear and tear on the car and expense is something that I'd like to see this policy reflect. I didn't find it in here yet.
That would count as a call out. That would count as a call out.
Yeah. If they actually were just getting
if it was before their shift or after their shift and they responded, it is a call out.
Could I speak I think what Legislator Nolan's saying is if their work area would be in Shandaken, why drive all the way to Kingston to pick a vehicle up and then drive back up? But we have substations.
They wouldn't.
Our
they
can
have
vehicles.
A cool vehicle
I mean,
there that
Soap
they use
always has
day.
One or two vehicles
or
parked there.
It just depends on if there's enough vehicles, because they're not always as enough vehicles at each substation. We usually leave one or two cars there.
Yeah.
And then the newer deputies use those cars all the time, 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something else, then yeah, maybe there would be enough cars.
I don't ever see a personal vehicle parked there.
Are you talking about patrol vehicles?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably the same for DPW.
But patrol vehicles
are
exempted. So I don't know. We're not discussing. They can do whatever you want with them.
Yeah.
Take them home.
I did just send a perp case about improper practice. It was a facelift versus perp. So where they did uphold that perp ruled that because it was past practice, you had continued to provide the vehicles. It went up to a higher court. They affirmed perp's charge.
Where was it? Islip, you said?
Yeah.
Islip.
23rd.
Could you forward that to me?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'd love to know the boxes they checked that I mentioned here that wouldn't be checked.
Yeah. Sure.
Every case is different.
Yeah.
Every case is different. Absolutely.
Oh, we need a motion to.
Thank you.
Just if they have a take home vehicle, that's like an extra $800 a month.
Can't
stop it.
Secondly, all in favor.
Aye.
Thank you.
We don't have to validate now, right?
No.